Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone to step up and speak out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen and I'm your host for today's show. I'm a multi-international award-winning speaker mentor, I'm an international best-selling author, but most specifically for today, I enjoy being the radio host of Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. And I'm coming from, well, it's a cold morning, it's a winter's morning here in Australia, and I'm coming to you from Queensland, Australia. And welcome to everybody from right around the globe. And I hope it is awesome, whatever part of the day it is for you now, and that you enjoy our show. Just a reminder for people in North America, you can listen and call in on 646-564-9508. For those outside North America, you can listen in and post your questions by following the link on tobtr.com/1088-7495. Of course, if you do have questions at any time for our guests for today's show, you can PM me on Facebook as well, and I'll pass those questions across. And that brings me to a special guest today. Special guest today is Melly Stewart, the Story Collector. Hi, Melly. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Trish. Thank you so much for having me on your radio show.
I'm very much looking forward to it because, as I said, Melly is called the Story Collector, and I'm looking forward to finding the stories out behind the Story Collector today. So we'll be back shortly to speak with you and Sounds like a good plan. When I come back, Melly and I are going to be talking about the real and raw in your video content online. We're going to be talking about how to draw out that through video storytelling. So I'm looking forward to really delving into stories, into videos of Melly. However, before we do that, for those who are regulars, you know I have a frequently asked question or a discussion. And for those who are joining us for the first time today, that's what I do at the beginning of our show. We discuss a point, there's a question that any of my clients or has come up in conversation over the last week or two, or anything that people have asked me on Facebook or LinkedIn. So today's question or discussion is actually going to be something that I've been talking about for the last week or so. It's been sort of top of mind and it's come up several times. And what it is very quickly, we're going to talk about good versus memorable speakers. So we're looking at what makes a good speaker and then what makes a memorable speaker. And we're looking at memorable speakers, those sort of speakers that after you heard them speak, it may be days, months, even years later, you can remember something about that. It'll either be the actual speaker, or it could be a few words or a phrase or whatever it is. There is something that stays in your mind. And to me, that makes memorable speakers. So these are some of my thoughts behind that. And that's come from discussions with audiences and other speakers, event organizers, my guests on my radio show, my corporate clients and my mentoring clients over the last 20 years. We've been talking all those times. I've been looking at what are good speakers and what out of that has come some differences which have just sort of come to mind, which have gelled into, well, those are memorable speakers. So let's have a look at good speakers first. And this is a very big topic, so I'm only going to skim across this and maybe we can talk about it again later. So good speakers for me are those who've got some basic speaking skills. They're ones who've started their speaking journey. They know what they're doing. They know where they're going. They've overcome that reluctance to speak. So they've identified what's been holding them back from speaking. They've looked at that and they've put into place mindsets. They've overcome any limiting beliefs. And they're feeling, if not absolutely delighted to be speaking, but they're feeling comfortable with speaking. And they still get the nerves. And as you've heard me say many times, you still need those nerves when you speak. because that's what gives you the adrenaline to make that connection. So the good speakers have looked at that, and they've overcome that reluctance to speak. They've identified body language, and they know how to add a really good visual message to their verbal message. They know what to do with their hands that seem to hang like lumps of wood, and they know how to feel comfortable in their body when they're speaking. They've identified how powerful voice techniques can be in conveying emotion and building the, using pause to build that momentum through their presentations. So they've identified that. And they're comfortable with their speaking area. So they know how to use their speaking area, whatever sort of, whether it's a big stage or a small area, they know how to move and how to work with it and to engage with the audience. So basically for me and from my discussions, good speakers have got good techniques. They're on that speaking journey and you feel quite okay listening to them. They may even engage, you know, they'll engage you, they'll hold you there. So they're good speakers and that's great. And that's where we should be aiming at for people when they first start out, is to get to that level to be a good speaker, to put all those things in place. Then you take it to a next level. And that's what makes a memorable speaker. Now, the things that I've identified that make a memorable speaker and the ones that, as I said, we will often remember something about them for a long while afterwards. I mean, even it may even be that you might meet them months afterwards, and as soon as you see them again or meet them again, it triggers, oh, wow, you were so great last time I saw you, or you said these things. So that's the stuff that we're looking at for memorable speakers. And one that I'm sure Mally's going to be very happy about, biggest thing for me is stories. When the speaker uses stories to connect, they use stories to highlight their information. They share a little bit about themselves through their own stories, or they use stories from clients or stories that I've heard. Those things, and those speakers who use the stories well, they are on their way to being memorable because we remember the stories. They need to be authentic and genuine. And I know these two words get bandied around quite a bit and used a lot, but it's true. Whenever you go, however often you use them, these are the memorable speakers. They're the ones that walk their talk. They're the same person that you see speaking as you would meet online or meet in person. And they are ready to open up their hearts and share and let people see behind the mask and see who they really are. And they know how to connect with the audience. And I mean really connect with the audience. Not just the technical part of it, which the good speakers use, but they really make that connection. They have the audience in the palm of their hands, and they are able to have a two-way, almost two-way conversation without even knowing it. They know how to be flexible with that audience and how to respond to them. And then listening skills, they've got memorable speakers of great listening skills, and I know a lot of people always go, what, listening skills and speaking? But yeah, to be a memorable speaker, you need to be a really, really good listener. That means you need to be listening to the event organizer who hires you, listening to the audience verbally and non-verbally, what they have to say, and being able to respond. And I mean, that's being flexible. Knowing when something's not working in your presentation and being able to immediately switch, add something in, leave something out, because you're listening to what's going on. You listen to the vibes, you're listening to the questions that your audience are asking, and you can respond to them. And memorable speakers take you on a journey. Boy, do they take you on a journey. It's not just the structure of the presentation. They sweep you up in their arms. They excite you at the beginning. They keep you there all the way through, and they deposit you at the end, and they don't lose you on the way. Brilliant journey. And finally, memorable speakers are always in the moment, and they enjoy what they're doing. You can tell. After all, people, if a speaker gets up there and is just there and they don't show any enjoyment, and you can actually sense that they don't want to be there, then why do you as an audience want to listen to them? So memorable speakers are always in the present, in the moment. It doesn't matter what's been going on in their lives or what's happening. They're there to connect with their audience and they're there to share. And they enjoy what they're doing, and you can see that enjoyment come through. So that's a little bit about what I believe is the difference between good speakers and memorable speakers. And we should be aiming to start with our good speakers and then aiming to add on to that to become memorable. Now, I've written a blog about this, so if you want to know a bit more about the differences between them and what you can be aiming for, you can go to trishspringsteen.com. Just click on the blog page there, and you'll see my blog just recently posted about good versus memorable speakers. Okay. I'll be sharing tips and techniques and strategies each show. So if there is something you would like answered, you can email me on info@trischel.com.au or PM me and then tune into the next show to hear your answer. And don't forget, if you never want to miss a discussion or a frequently asked question or never want to miss any of our great guests, make sure you go to the link there and subscribe. Go to the link and subscribe to my show. And you can go there by blogtalkradio.com/speakoutwithtrish. And there's a big button there. You can't miss it. It says follow. So if you hit that button, then you will never miss out on a show, and you'll never miss out on a guest, and you'll never miss out on a discussion. So that brings me to my guest for today. And that's my delight to have Melly Stewart on the show. Now, for Melly, storytelling is a curiosity-filled search to find the stories in the heart of the people she meets. She is intrigued by others' stories and driven by a desire to unearth what lies beneath the mask we wear. Her love for the entrepreneurial journey has led her to merge research with assisting entrepreneurs to grow their business through video storytelling strategies. And with the right connection between your stories and your clients, she has proven you can develop deeper client relationships and in the process drive your business closer to achieving the goals. So welcome, Melly. I'm looking forward to delving into your story.
Thank you so much, Trish, and thank you for those facts before. I thought that was really good and I took a lot on from that. I'm definitely going to keep those in mind when I do my next speaking gig.
You're very welcome. And you're mostly there because you are so passionate about stories. So I'm going to still delve in. Let's find a little bit about Melly and how she became a videographer and how she became a story collector. Do you want to just share a bit about your story for us?
Certainly. So for me, videography was just a progression of coming from a photography business. And photography was a hobby which just became a business. But the storytelling element of it actually goes right back from when I was a child. I was the awkward kid who didn't quite fit in.
Yeah.
And for me, I've only realized exactly why I didn't fit in a couple of weeks ago. And it was because I didn't have a deep connection with the people around me. I want to know what people are thinking and especially what they are feeling. And I'm guessing as a kid running around asking adults what they're thinking and feeling probably made them a little uncomfortable. So I didn't get that connection that I craved. And I actually turned to books. Through my stories, through all the novels that I consumed, I got a glimpse into what people were thinking and feeling. And I could connect with the characters in those books so deeply. And it's helped in that I now have a very, very solid understanding of the concept of storytelling, because that's what a book does. It takes you on that journey of a story. So as I got older, got sucked into the corporate world, as most of us do, accounting of all things. Can you imagine that? Me, an accountant?
Oh, my God. Oh, no, Melly, I don't think I can.
I know, it's one of those things no one really picks up on with me. And then, yeah, once I escaped the corporate world, I always wanted to be in business by myself, and one of my hobbies was photography, so naturally I moved into that. And from photography, it moved into videography, which once again came back to the story. I couldn't capture a person's story in just one image. It needed more. And it's progressed from there, this deep, deep love of wanting to connect with people and understand what they're thinking and feeling. and having this camera in my hand going, well, I want to merge these two loves together, so let's do it. And yeah, now here I am as the story collector, and I love meeting people and finding out what they're thinking and feeling. And I still make some people uncomfortable, but I'm completely all right with that, because if that's the case, then they're not my people.
It's interesting you say that, because I was going to sort of thinking about, do you find it easy to pull stories from people? Because I think sometimes people, and especially the group that I love working with is introverts, they're not always keen on sharing who they are. So how does that go with you?
I meet someone, it's very intuitive for me. I pick up on people's emotions and their responses very quickly. And it's kind of an energy exchange as well, in that I can sense when they're not willing to share. And I have this natural gift to ask the right questions to get people speaking from the heart. So I find that when I meet someone, especially an introvert, who are a bit reserved, I just start asking them questions until I can see that passion or feel that passion coming from them. And then we're fast friends, the words just flow, they just tell me everything. And I seem to have this ability that no matter who I meet, I get a full life story from them within a couple of minutes. So that helps. But yeah, for me, it's very intuitive based. I have this way of just pulling stories out of people. I just ask the right questions and then the stories flow.
Oh, look, yeah, and I've seen some of your interviews with people about how those stories come out. Yeah. I think we've got a bit of an echo there, but never mind. We'll see how we go. So what do you do with these stories? You pull them out of people. What do you do with them?
Well, that depends on them, because I am very much in the entrepreneurial space. I like to help with connecting those stories with people's clients. So depending on the business, it depends on what stories they need to be telling to connect with their clients. Because one of the things I've learned along my journey is that our stories are never about us and they're never for us. And especially when we start talking in the marketing element of things. So I like to help my clients find their stories and then connect that with their clients. And I believe by doing that, it's like I do naturally with people, they are doing that naturally with theirs as well. So if anything, I guess I'm teaching people to become their own story collectors and at the same time connect with their clients and grow their businesses.
Brilliant. I love that. And I love that bit. I think this is one of the listeners that the goal for our listeners out of that people is the stories are not about us and for us. They're for our clients or for others. And I think that's a really gold nugget for our listeners to become our own story collector.
It's one of my big things. Whenever someone says they can't tell a story or they can't step in front of the camera, I remind them that it is not about you. It is not about what your fears and reservations are. You're doing it for someone else, so focus on that other person. I think as human beings, we're naturally giving, and as long as we get out of our own head and are thinking of the other person, then it flows naturally, and we want to do it. We want to help others.
And that is a really good point. It works very well because it's something similar that I speak with those getting up to speak in front of audiences or clients. It's one of the biggest points to realise it's not about you. It's about what you can share for the people who are listening to you. I wanted to go just back one bit, Melly. Why do you think stories are powerful? Because they are trending. We're hearing an awful lot about stories, and they've been there from the beginning of time. So what, from your perspective, makes them so powerful? I know you've probably touched a little bit on it, but let's pull that in.
Okay, for me, stories are important because they inspire others. So I believe that through a story, you can change someone's life. That could be as simple as meeting someone on the street and them giving you a story about why they gave up smoking. That could inspire you to give up smoking, or you could pass that story on to someone else and find inadvertently you're helping someone else do the exact same thing. So for me, stories are fundamentally about connection, It's how we get to know someone. It's how we get to know their heart. And at the same time, it's how we can change the world. It's a really big thing when you go deep into it. It's a very deep subject, storytelling. And I do feel, as you said, that the business world has kind of taken it and butchered it to some extent.
Yeah.
So storytelling kind of gets a bad rap these days. But
yeah.
I think if you take the structure out of it, take all the business boxing of it out and go back to the fundamental heart of it, which is to inspire others, that to me is what storytelling is. That is where the power is. And I believe that's why you need to be real in your videos. I don't believe you can inspire someone else by pretending or putting a mask on. It has to be real and it has to come from your heart.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that, because unless you do get to see, if you try and share a story without taking the mask off, it just becomes a technical rote exercise and loses that connection. So I think that's what I think is powerful with what you're doing with your videos and the stories that you're collecting. It's helping people to ease out from behind that mask and share it. That takes us, when we're talking about masks and being real, why do you think you need to be real to survive in business?
I believe the world is changing, and it's changing very, very fast. So I know growing up, my mum and dad were part of the MWay trend in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember listening to all their motivational videos and CDs that they had playing, cassette tapes of all things at those days.
Oh, yes, I can actually relate to that one, yes.
Yep, you can relate to that one. And a lot of it was like pump up stuff, make you feel good, drive action. But none of it would get down to the real heart or the truth of it, in that, you know what, this could be hard. And it was hard for me. And I think that's where there was a connection. There was an element missing there for me. And I think by being real in your videos, in your stories, it allows people to see you're human and that you're not just a brand, you're not just a business. People want to connect with people. And I believe that is where the business world has changed dramatically. If you look at the big companies like Coca-Cola and Pepsi, they're starting to see a huge decline in sales because it's not a person behind that brand. The brand has overtaken the person. And they've tried very hard to bring the people back into their advertising, but there's still this disconnect. And I believe that's where the small businesses especially, we're at a huge advantage in the new age of business, because we are our businesses. So I don't believe you can separate yourself from your business anymore. And if you can't separate yourself from your business, then you have to be upfront sharing who you are. People only buy from people these days if they know, like, and respect them. And the only way they're going to know, like, and respect you is if you are real. There's no point in wearing a mask anymore. People will see through it. Social media has made sure of that.
Oh, yes. You can find out about everything. And there's a lot of masks on social media. That's one of the reasons. Well, I say you need to be who you are, either speaking on video, on social media, or when you meet them, because if there's a disconnect, you're quite right. It's going to throw up some blockages to you getting where you want to in your business.
Exactly. And I've noticed, even with myself, I'm very real and raw on social media. But there's a couple of times people have said to me, you're always busy, you're always up, you're always doing things. It's to the point where it looks like you're overwhelmed. And I realize that's because when I am busy, when I am doing, I want to share myself with the world. So that's when I'm on social media. And I realized I wasn't sharing my downtime. Because for me, downtime means disconnection. Disconnect from social media, disconnect from everyone, hang out in my garden, upcycle some furniture, but nowhere near my phone or social media. And I realized that I was inadvertently disconnecting from my audience in that respect as well. So I've tried to make more of an effort to take my phone with me while I disconnect and at least take one or two photos. but I think it's really easy to disconnect your personal self and your business on social media. And it is a challenge going forward to merge those two elements without overstepping it at the same time. And that's where your strategy is really, really important. You need a strategy behind using social media and especially video on social media.
I think that's important because I think you've got a couple of things out of there that I'm interested in. It's the fine line between how much of your personal life do you share, how raw do you need to be, and then the importance that you do need disconnect time for yourself to recharge. And the oxymoron there is that if you are disconnecting to recharge and then you take your phone with you, are you really disconnecting to recharge?
Yes, yes, I know. I have that issue too. I tend to take my phone with me now, take a quick photo and then throw it across the yard and go get it later.
I think my question might be then too is how much of that is the real Melly? Because it seems to me when you're saying how, well, I've got to make that effort, that maybe that's not the real natural Melly.
Oh, good point. Good point. Thank you for calling me out on that one. It is still me. Because I believe people are very complex. And I don't believe that, like, the business side of my personality is very much forefront on social media because I do use social media for business.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I am complex and I do like just hanging out in my garden and disconnecting or just reading a book, and that doesn't necessarily make for engaging social media content.
Yeah, and but does it need to be? Does it need to be? And that's I'm just posing that question out there because I think sometimes we can go too far the other way and then we start to lose who we really are.
Yes, and that was something that I had done. I was missing who I really was, and people called me out on that, and I'm very grateful for that. And now I'm taking those steps to fix that and make sure I am sharing more of my personal life. And, like me sitting in front of my computer this morning to do this interview with you, no makeup, haven't done my hair, and that's completely fine. I will still share that on social media because that is me and that is what's happening today.
And I do much the same. It's, you know, some of my Facebook lives and my social media are a little bit more polished than others. But the ones I do before my radio show usually don't have me in any makeup because I'm sharing what I'm going to be doing on a radio show. And I'm sorry, people out there who are going to be disillusioned, but I don't put my makeup on for my radio show. I know that's going to disillusion a lot of listeners. I know that. But it's about being real, and I think that's an interesting point that you've brought up about strategies, about deciding how much of the real you need to share. Because we've all seen too much oversharing on social media.
And you do need to disconnect. And I believe how raw you go depends on your audience and what they want from you. Mm-hmm. So there's some businesses out there who are completely raw. I highly recommend looking up Madge the Vag. It is what what you think it is. It's a show all about women's health.
Okay.
But her audience wants really deep, real, raw stuff from her so she can talk about some very private matters, but that's what connects with her audience. That's what they want. Whereas other businesses, to talk about that sort of stuff, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work for them. So this is where being real and raw depends on your audience as well, which is coming back to the whole, it is not about you, it's about your audience. What do they need from you? What do they want from you? And how do you give it to them?
And I think the next thing in that is that listening. You've got to listen to the people, and that's what you did. You listened, and then you need to judge how much of it you want to respond to, because not everything you hear is going to be aligned with your vision or your mission or who you are. But it's good to keep an open ears and listen, and then evaluate.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Excellent.
You will skirt the line. There will be some things you put out and then you won't get much interaction, or someone will give you a funny look and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I towed the line a bit too much there. And other times you'll be talking and they'll gloss over, or their eyes will glaze over and you're like, oh, okay, I'm really surface level here. They want more from me. And it takes practice, that's for sure.
And a strategy. I like that you mentioned that. It takes a little bit of thought about where you're going to be, who your audience is, and what you're going to be sharing and how it aligns with your end goals. And I love that strategy.
Yes, okay. You need the strategy in there.
We're just going to take a couple of minutes. I'll be back with you in a minute, Melly. I'm just going to take a breather. Get yourself there. Okay, people, you're listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. This is episode 60, and we've been speaking with my guest, Melly Stewart, the story collector. And, oh, we've been actually delving in behind. It's been fascinating. We've learned a little bit more about Melly, how she got on the road, between the link between who she was as a child, the stories that she loved as a child, how that went from there to photography, and then how that had to be merging into videography because it wasn't doing what she needed, and then how she's gone into collecting storytelling and helping others to realise that. We've had some really good gold pieces, stories that are not about us, but they're for others. They need to be inspiring. And I love the discussion that we've had with Melly about being complex. So if you're listening, you want a question, again, for those outside North America, just go to teobtr.com/10887495. You can listen in there and you can pass questions on. If you're in North America, you can call in on 646-564-9508 or listen in on that number as well. And as I said, we've been speaking with Melly Stewart, the story collector, on Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. And don't forget to go and to blogtalkradio.com/speakoutwithtrish and hit that follow button. Otherwise, you will be missing out on what we've been discussing today and other people who've come on the show to discuss valuable items. So, Melly, let's have a little bit of discussion about superpower. I know you've been talking to people about acknowledging your superpower. Where are we coming from with that? What are we looking for with that?
So for me, I find a lot of people don't acknowledge what their superpower is or what their rawness or their realness actually is. They hold themselves back. And I found a really easy way to find where that superpower is and then acknowledging it and unleashing it in your videos. So for me, finding your superpower all lies in when you've been told you are too much for someone else. So I find going back to childhood is easier for most people because you can always remember your parents saying something like, you're too loud, or you're too quiet, you're too bossy, you're too busy with your nose in a book, which is what I got a lot growing up.
So did I.
Yeah. And then we kind of let those words cage us or box us. And we hold those elements back from the world then. And I find when we acknowledge them and go, you know what? Yes, I'm too bossy, but let's flip that and say, I'm not too bossy. I'm a leader. And I like to get things done. And then too loud? No, I'm actually very opinionated and I'm happy to express my thoughts and feelings. That is not a bad thing. That is an awesome thing. And then too busy with my nose in a book? No, I was too busy consuming stories because stories are an awesome thing and that has set me up for life. So once again, how is that a bad thing? And one of the big things that I find come up time and time again, especially with women, is that we're told we're too emotional or too sensitive. And I find when we flip that into a superpower, it changes people's lives. I don't believe being too emotional or too sensitive is a negative thing at all. I believe being too sensitive equates to you feel things deeply. That is a beautiful thing in this world. And too emotional can be flipped to I express what I feel easily. How is that a bad thing? I think that's a phenomenal thing. I think that's an awesome superpower to have, to be able to acknowledge your emotions and express them. So I love trying to do, I love challenging people on their too much thoughts and limitations, and getting them to flip it into a superpower.
I think that's awesome. And you've actually shared some really, again, some gold points there. Because we do, as women, often get told we're too emotional and sensitive. And we've got a lot going now talking about emotional intelligence and businesses. And it's being acknowledged that you need to be sitting in who you are and comfortable with who you are and comfortable with how you deal with others. And that is very true. Keeping that to superpowers is a very good way to think about it, and to change our limiting beliefs that we have. Because I also find that coming through, which is what stops people from speaking and sharing, because they have those limiting beliefs that they've been told that they can't do it, you're not good enough.
I think when you're an adult and then you can look back on it and then own it, that it completely changes its meaning. You destroy the box that you've been limited by, and then you're standing on the box to look out over the world. And I think it's a very powerful thing, which is why I like using the word superpower. I kind of always get the vision of Wonder Woman with the breeze blowing in her hair when someone acknowledges it. I love it. It's fantastic.
I'll give you that one. It doesn't work for me because I always think that's stereotyping. Was always, she never had any, she never had her hair out of place. Excuse me.
What's the new one? The new one's good.
She'd do all these things and grab all these people, but she still had not her hair out of place. I used to find it quirky. I looked for the quirky things and that. Okay, I just switch a little bit from storytelling a bit more now to videography and videoing. I was able to hear you do a presentation not too long ago about how you can use your phone very well for videoing. And I thought I'd like to get you to share some of those tips, because a lot of people get tied up with that. You know, they can come and be interviewed by others, but one of the other things in being able to share your stories is to be able to do it yourself. And we often get tripped up with the, you know, all the expensive equipment thing and can't do it. So I'm going to take a couple of minutes and share some quick tips for us and how we can use the thing we already all have, which is our phone.
Yes, certainly. I found, especially coming from photography, there was this big expectation in the photography world that you had to have the best of equipment to be able to take the best photos. And what I was actually finding was that it didn't matter what device I was using, I could still take amazing photos as long as I had the right elements of photography. Mm-hmm. And it's carried over into videography as well. And once again, I realized it didn't matter what camera I was using. It didn't matter whether it was a DSLR or a webcam or a phone. As long as you had the right elements, the video always worked. So the main element is your lighting, your sound, and your stabilization. So with lighting, the best tip and the quickest tip is to have the light in front of you. So especially with our phone sensors go a little tricky if there's too much backlight, so too much light behind you. So as long as you're making sure the light is in front of you, then you look really good in your photos, in your videos. And, I mean, that's the whole point. We want to look good, right?
Helps look good, yes.
Yeah. And if you look good and you're not too dark, like not too shadowy in your videos, people will stop and actually watch it. It's when the quality isn't the best that people will start skipping. So then the next thing with your videos is your sound. It's a catch-22, unfortunately, that almost 80% of people watch videos online without sound. But you can't get subtitles for your videos without sound. So I do highly recommend getting a Rode lav mic. It's a very little mic. You plug it straight to your phone and your sound is almost perfect immediately. I find it's really, really good if there's a lot of background noise because it muffles the background noise and focuses on yourself. And the other tip is to stabilize. So I don't know about you, but I get a little seasick watching videos where they're running down the street or they're turning around in circles and the frame is jumping around with them.
Yeah.
I am a huge believer that you need to keep your camera or your phone still. And it's very easy these days. There's lots of different devices you can use. There's tripods. There's these things called spider grips, where they kind of look like spider legs and you can actually wrap them around a tree branch, so you can put your phone in a tree. And one of the other really cool tricks is that if you don't have either of those things, you can actually hold your phone up and press it against the wall. So you pin it against the wall, which stops it from moving. And then you record your videos. So that one I find really cool. I like that tip.
I just sort of this vision of all these people with their phones against the wall, they're talking to the wall. After being told for ages as a kid, go and stand in the corner, we're now telling you to go and stand and face the wall again.
Oh, I am so taking that as a title from one of my chapters in my next book, Stand in the Corner to Do Your Videos.
I just had that mental image.
I love it. One of the other things with your videography is how you frame yourself in that shot. So when you're holding your camera up, you need to make sure that you can actually see yourself. I find a lot of people step away from the camera before they start speaking. And that would work if you're trying to show lots of the background, lots of the room, but that doesn't necessarily work if you want people to focus on your message or what you're saying. And in the same token, if you're too close to the camera, people don't necessarily like seeing the pores on your nose, so maybe you need to back up a little bit.
Yeah.
So my general rule of thumb is chest height and up. So for the very bottom of the frame, the very bottom of your image should be roughly chest height, and then only a very small gap above your head before the frame shot ends. So you have to play with it to get comfortable with where the right spot is. And I find with your phones, you end up having to be a lot closer than you think you need to be.
What else can I say?
I do want to mention call to actions because that's come up a lot lately.
Yeah.
So after you've done whatever you need to do on your video, hopefully tell a story because that's what I do. It's the point of why I'm here. a lot of people don't put a call to action at the end of their videos. So the viewer, the person watching the video, has no idea what to do next. Do you want them to go to your website? Do you want them to comment? Do you want them to call you? And it's come up recently that the reason a lot of us aren't putting a very short, sharp call to action at the end of our videos is self-worth. We kind of don't believe that we should be asking for our viewers to do something. We don't feel like it's acceptable. And so we don't. And I think it's really, really important when so many people are using video in this day and age, we need to ask our people to do something for us. They've given us some time, we've given them information, now we need them to do something for us. And I think that's an awesome thing. There's nothing wrong with asking our people to do something.
No, it's absolutely right what you're saying, because it's one of the things we talk about on your speaking journey. If you don't give people a call to action, don't tell them what to do, then how do you know that you've reached your destination? How do you know that you've achieved what you want? And it is something I always put. And you're very true, not just in videos, but calls to action often get missed out in presentations. People will sum it up and do a conclusion, but they won't do a call to action. And even when you're talking to your clients, And you are having a conversation with your clients. Quite often they forget to put a call to action in there. And I think it's an interesting point that you've raised about being afraid to ask because we're not sure that we are worthy to get it. Interesting concept.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that, Nellie. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Okay. I mean, I love it when people can validate because it's really great because I know what I do, and it's really great when all my guests who I have on talk about different aspects of what they do, and it's like, oh, yes, that's something I do. That means we're all on the right track and we're all giving our people everything that they need because we're validating each other. And maybe if they hear several people say it in different ways, they might actually take it on board.
Exactly. And if we're sharing our stories and all our stories have the same underlying message, it will sink in from one angle or another, and then we've changed someone's life.
And that's what I think is so powerful about what we all do in our business. Okay, we're going to run out of time. I know it. I always run out of time with my guests because we get talking. I always do. There's a couple of things I wanted to talk to you a little bit about. And just off the top, what motivates Nellie? What gets you up in the morning, Nellie?
Usually my daughter stomping down the hallway.
I love it. Yes.
But really, she is a lot of my motivation. I believe there's a different energy around the children of the current generation. They are so free in life. They feel things so deeply. And I watch the energy and the beliefs of the past generations and how they have so not aligned with her today. And I can see how it's trying to box her already. And so every day, like when I step into my business mind and do what I do, I'm kind of paving the way for her to be herself and not go through that whole journey of having to box herself and then unbox herself and to just have the freedom to be who she is for the rest of her life.
Yeah. Awesome.
So,
awesome. And
my main motivation.
I think our children do, they can be extremely inspiring, and they can be many of the reasons why we do things. Awesome. Okay, just very briefly, what is the one insight or one lesson that you've learned that you'd like to pass on to our listeners?
One of my big things is speak from the heart. I find we get so stuck in our head. And I do it too. I get stuck in my head and you're giving information, you're not speaking with depth. Mm. And sometimes it's a matter of taking a deep breath before you speak and leaning into those thoughts and those words that are uncomfortable. So I find we tend to talk surface level. We don't like to go deep because sometimes deep is uncomfortable. But I believe going deep is where you grow. That's where your truth really lies. So speaking from the heart, even if it is uncomfortable, is what I want to leave with people. Lean into those uncomfortable things and speak it anyway, because that is kind of where your superpower lies as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. And not the easiest things to do, but I think that's a brilliant lesson to learn, and I agree wholeheartedly with that. I just want to drop back to something you were saying, because I think it connects really with me, because I was a big reader as well. I was much happier as a child, just sit in the corner and read, and I think the earliest things I can remember is having a nice book reading either in the corner at parties. I always got told not to read there, or holding the book under the bed covers at night because it was a interesting story. So I just thought, what's your favourite book, Nellie? What do you like to read?
I'm a bit of an enigma in that I really, really love my horror novels. So I'm a huge fan of Stephen King. And I also love the really trivial vampire novel love story kind of book. So I love Stephen King and how deep and how complex his storylines are, and how much emotion he can pack into a short book and how well he builds a character. And at the same time, I love even like Stephanie Meyer's Twilight series. Those books were really easy to read, but they sucked you in with emotion. And I think for me, it always comes back to that emotion. And I do some self-help books, but yeah, I kind of like the story more than the self-help genre. So yeah, that's my enigma. Give me a Stephen King any day.
Oh, you do well with my daughter. I'm not good on horror. I'm not really good on horror books because I get so involved with it. It scares the daylights out of me, horror books. I really, when I read, I'm immersed in it. So
yes.
I cry, I laugh, and the horror movie just like scares me so much. And the horror book does the same thing. So I'll leave it with that. But yes, Stephanie Meyer's Twilight series. Yeah, I love that one as well. Because for me. For me, books are my escape. That's where I go to recharge. So I read some self-help books, but mostly if I'm reading a book, obviously I'm recharging, and that's when I'm getting my stories and living in another life. So it's really good. Okay, very well. All right, then we're going to be running out of time again. We always do. My question I ask all my guests is, what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
Ooh, for me, a great speaker has the ability to connect and be real. So I think one of the best speakers I've ever seen walked out onto the stage. We had been at an all-day conference, so the audience was tired. She took one look at us, kicked off her shoes, turned the mic off, stood at the front of the stage and said, yeah, you're all kind of over this, aren't you? Let's just get real. And we all got up out of our seats, went and sat on the floor in front of her, and we just had a conversation. And I think that's a huge gift for a speaker, to be able to read the audience and go, what I had planned is not what they need right now. What they need is this, so that is how I'm going to give it to them, and that is what I'm going to give to them. Kind of throwing their own expectations out the window and doing what's right by the audience.
Yeah, and that's what you just described is a really brilliant example of what I was saying in the memorable speaker, being able to listen and respond and be flexible. And then have the courage to do it. Just like, okay, this is where I'm going to go. So, yeah, I have to agree with there that I often find that. So thank you for sharing that. That would be going into my thing. You have a special offer for our listeners. Do you want to just share what that is?
Yes. So I find the storytelling element can go really deep and can be very complex, but the video side of things is really easy to learn. So I've actually put together a free video resource, which is how to make your videos look great. No opt-in required. You can jump over to my website, melies.com.au, and watch the video over there.
Brilliant. And Sybil, I would urge you to do that. Melly shared some of her tips here on how to do your videos and set yourself up with the video side of it so that you can then delve deeper into sharing your stories. So pop over to melies.com.au and get that video from there. Where else can they connect with you, Melly, if they want to find out more and speak with you more?
Yep, I'm very active on Facebook. I love my Facebook. So you can connect with me personally. It's melly.stewart. Or my business page is Melies the Story Collector. I'm also involved in a number of different organisations, so you may see my face around with a couple of those as well, but feel free to say hello on anywhere you see my face.
Thank you, Mary. And that's sort of what, is there one last thing you'd like to leave with our listeners before we move on today?
I think one of the big things I really want to stress is that your stories are not about you. Your videos are not about you. It's always about the person who is viewing or watching or reading whatever you're putting out to the world. So that's my big thing, is to remind people it is not about you.
Absolutely endorse that. Thank you so much, Melly, for being with us today. I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. We probably could have talked for ages more on storytelling and stories. I was going to ask you to share some of your stories, but we've run out of time, so I'm going to have to get you back on again. You're going to need to go and watch your videos to see some of those stories that you've been collecting.
I would love it. I'd love it. They could always jump over to my Facebook or my website. I've got lots of stories there.
Okay. Thanks, Melly. I've enjoyed having you as our guest today. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
No, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. I always love talking with you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Melly Stewart, the story collector, and Melly has left us with an awful lot of gold nuggets for people to take away. And there will be a replay of this up, so for those who are a bit worried that they may have missed out on some of those gold nuggets or didn't get time to write them down or wanted to remember, there will be a replay, so you'll be able to see that. And the episode does go up onto iTunes, so you can go onto iTunes there and get it down as a podcast. It can be up there. But just before I finish with our today's show, as I usually like to do, I have a couple of quotes that I think resonate with me. And it's really fun because I get these quotes before I do the show. And I love it how, as when I get to the end of the show, it's amazing how the quotes that I've just put down actually really do gel in and fit in. So I must be channeling something. So the first quote that I have is, and do you know what is the most often missing ingredient in a sales message? It's the sales message that doesn't tell an interesting story. Storytelling, good storytelling, is a vital component of a marketing campaign. And that's by Gary Halbert, who's the author, a marketing practitioner, and a copywriter. Now, I think that is something that my discussion with Melly completely highlighted and was brought forward. Is that what we do? There was somewhere in our discussion where Melly actually talked about storytelling being a very important marketing and sales piece. So, think about that. Think about the good sales people to do. Think about the good marketing and how it is storytelling that makes them good. And the second quote I've got is that stop thinking of video marketing as this separate entity that is optional for your business. Video is an effective form of communication that needs to be integrated into each and every aspect of your existing marketing efforts. That's by James Wedmore from the 7 Video Marketing Success Principles Everyone Should Know. And I think, again, a discussion with our guest, Melly Stewart, has highlighted that that is what it is. Today you need video marketing. It has to be an effective form. It's not a separate entity. It's a form of communication that you integrate into everything you do in your business. I speak about it. Melly speaks about it. It's out there. So you need to be looking at how you can best do it. If you know you've got to do it well. Do it with stories, do it with enjoyment, do it with good speaking skills. So those are two quotes I'm leaving with you today. Thank you very much, everyone, for being with us today on the show. I thoroughly enjoyed speaking with Melly, the story collector. Now, if you need to contact me, you can so at info@trishell.com.au. If you've got something that you would like me to discuss at another future show discussion item, just send it to me. If you would like to be on my show, just send me a contact and reach out to me. I'm always looking for guests on my show. Doesn't matter where you are, the show goes global and to people all over the world. And if you want to connect with me on Facebook, Trishell Innovative Communication Training, or just look for the Purple Lady, you'll find me all over Facebook. If you'd like to book me to speak on your show or your event or your meeting, go to trishspringsteen.com and book me to speak. And, of course, please follow me, blogtalkradio.com/speakoutwithtrish. Hit that follow button and you will never miss out on a show, never miss out on a guest, and never miss out on a discussion. Until next time. Share your awesome stories with everyone. I look forward to hearing them and connecting them. Have an absolutely awesome time in your business and your life. Bye.